Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to the SFLC podcast. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Dependable Solutions, innovating the future of your small to medium-sized business since 2012. Learn how you can save 40 to 60% on your overall credit card processing bill by going to dependable-solutions.net. Again, that's dependable-solutions.net. Also, teststrips.com. That's teststrips with a Z.com. Managing diabetes is your business. Making it affordable is theirs. Sell your extra unused diabetes supplies for up to $50 per box and support a worthy cause. Rated a Better Business Bureau accredited A+ rating for over 5 years. Partnered with 98.5 The Sports Hub and affiliated with the American Diabetes Association. Make sure to check them out again. That is teststrips with a Z.com. Finally, we'd like to thank the UFC South Austin Gym, located at 9900 South Interstate 35 in Austin, Texas. Learn how you can get 3 free classes when you sign up and mention the SFLC podcast. Be sure to call them at 512-292-1900.
SFLC podcast.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the SFLC podcast. Here I am, Ryan Sprague, and you know, normally we're covering a lot when it comes to mixed martial arts. You know, we know that there's a lot going on in UFC, there's a lot going on in Bellator, but anybody who knows me knows that I love me some boxing. There's a lot going on in the boxing world right now. We've had everybody on the line, from Ray Flores to Blake Stevenson, talking everything boxing, but it's time to bring in, from Chicago, Illinois, one of my favorite people to talk to. Every time we see him out in Chicago, it's a good time. From the Sporting News and DAZN, Steve Mulhausen. Steve, thank you for taking the time and joining the show.
Oh, man, it's been too long, my friend. It's good to hear you back in the Windy City and glad to be on, my friend. It's definitely a pleasure and an honor.
So you've been traveling quite a bit, my friend. You've been out in the Northeast. You've been covering shows in Chicago, in the Midwest. Man, you just don't stop.
Me and you were talking a little bit. You know, people say it's a grind. I don't view it as a grind. I view it as, and I said this to you a few minutes ago, it's the fact that this isn't a job. The moment I consider all of this a job, I'm going to bounce and say, see you later. I'll go work a 9-to-5. You tell me I get to do this for a living that provides for my family, sign me up. It's not a job. I always say it's a hobby. It's a pretty cool hobby. That's how I view it. But yeah, it's hectic. The rest of the year is going to be hectic, but that is the business we are in, and you couldn't find, there's nothing better than MMA boxing and the world of pro wrestling, so it's definitely a privilege to live this life.
I couldn't have said it better myself, my friend, but there are a lot of stories on the boxing horizon that you and I have kind of, you know, teetered at it talking about for a while, but now we know all the news that's happened over the past week. You know, a lot of this, I'll admit, came from Max on Boxing. You know, there were the biggest stories from last week. You know, so we'll jump kind of right into it. You know, when we ended up finding out, obviously, Errol Spence was in that car accident in Dallas last week. The reports came back that he had been charged with a DWI, and I think we kind of all knew that that was going to be the end result. We didn't want it to be true. We certainly didn't want to report it without the facts. But I have to start with you on this, Steve. When you found out initially that he was charged with a DWI, what was going through your head?
You hit it on the head there, Ryan. I wasn't surprised. It's like when I woke up to the news, it was, and you see the video, I'm like, oh my God, thankfully he's okay. Like once that initial shock wears off, then you put the reporter hat on and you start thinking like, it's that old saying, nothing good happens when you're out after midnight. And I just knew in the back of my mind, okay, it doesn't smell right. And it ended up, it didn't smell right. And when the news came out at the end of last week that he was getting charged with the DWI, and this is another case of athletes that don't get it. You have all this money. Why don't you have a driver? Call an Uber, Lyft, a taxi cab. ever. Hire a driver. It's totally uncalled for. He's lucky he didn't die. He has a chance to make history. He has a chance to go down as one of the best welterweights of all time. One of the best boxers in this generation. He's a fantastic fighter. He's on his way there. He's building his legacy. And he almost royally screwed it up, Ryan, for a couple drinks and his lack of common sense to not wear a seatbelt. And what are you thinking? That's what no one's talking about here. And, it's been really bugging me the last, week or so since this all came out. And I'm, talking to my wife about it. And that's the first thing she said to me because she's a nurse in a hospital. She's like, why wasn't he wearing a seatbelt? He's like, he didn't die. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. And hopefully he does answer that because you have all this money. Athletes and celebrities, entertainers, or whoever you want to call them, they have all this money, but they don't know how to be proper about it and hire someone or call a cab or, we were talking about Uber or Lyft. And nothing wrong with having fun. Everyone should be allowed to have fun. Be responsible about it. And the lack of responsibility here about Errol Spence could have cost him his life. Who cares about the career? Could have lost his life. So hopefully now he learns something from this. Now he's got to learn, get it together. Get your shit together. Get his shit together because he's got a great career ahead of him. But he's got to keep his head on straight. If he does that, he can go back to being pound for pound one of the best boxers in the world, and he can make history. But it's up to him. And the people, more importantly, the people around him have to tell him to get it together. You're risking a lot by acting very stupid.
I couldn't have said it better myself. And I remember watching that fight, and after him getting that victory, I said, we can't be any more than one calendar year away from seeing a unification bout again with Terrence Bud Crawford, seeing what happens with Manny Pacquiao, how that plays out, seeing one of the first unified four belts held in the welterweight division, and it's got to be more than a quarter century. So you wonder to yourself, what is going to be next for Errol Spence? We know that he was charged with a Class B misdemeanor. We know in the reports he said that he has to answer for these charges. But as far as how the IBF or the WBC is concerned, or even Premier Boxing Champions, we haven't heard a response from them in regards to this. Is there a reason we have not heard a response?
They don't really, the sanctioning bodies, they really can't do anything. He didn't fail a drug test. He didn't fail a drug test. No, he was drinking and driving. They really can't do anything in terms of, the commission can, whatever state he finds it next, they can have a hearing, and nothing's going to happen. They'll maybe give him a conditional license is what they'll do. If they're going to punish him at all. But The Athletic reported right after the fight with Sean Porter that it looks like it's going, a plan is in place for January 25th back in Los Angeles with him and Danny Garcia. And that, from what I'm told, that's still the plan. That plan hasn't changed because he's out of the hospital. He's resting comfortably. He's licking his wounds. He's got no broken bones, only facial lacerations. So he's going to handle his business with the DWI. That'll get taken care of. He'll probably get his license suspended for a few months, and he'll probably have to go to, I think from people I know that have had DUIs, they go to, an impact class, where you go for a series of classes, and you watch videos, and you talk with people, and I imagine then he'll get some sort of fine, and then you can get back into training, but that's the plan, right? As of right now, the plan is for him to still fight January 25th. Against Danny Garcia. A fight, I'm not the biggest fan of a fight to me. It doesn't make a lot of sense as what Danny Garcia has done to get to this point. Beating Adrian Granados should not warrant a fight with Errol Spence when you lost to Sean Porter and you pummeled an out of his prime and more or less a gatekeeper at this point. Brandon Rios, your last two wins been against gatekeepers. It doesn't. You're 2-2 in your last four, and you're going to be gifted a fight with one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world. To me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I'd go another route. maybe try to make a fight with Manny Pacquiao, offer Manny Pacquiao the farm, give him enough money to give him the incentive to face Errol Spence. If not, then the fight to make is Terrence Crawford. And Errol Spence thinks he holds the cards here, which I think to a point he's right on, because he's got more guys to face than Terrence Crawford at this point. And will the fight happen? Yes, because it has to happen. Errol Spence can say whatever he needs to say to make himself feel better, but Terrence Crawford is the better boxer. You can say what you want, quality of opposition. The guy was the undisputed champion at 140 pounds. He's dominated at 147 up to this point.
Yeah.
There's going to become a point they face each other, but right now the plan for Errol Spence is Danny Garcia. But I think that fight does happen in 2020. It's getting too big to the point where it shouldn't happen. People keep talking about it. People want to see it. There's a lot of money to be made if they both get into the ring. And I think with Spence, with Crawford fighting on December 14th on ESPN, right after the Heisman Trophy presentation, is only going to help build Crawford more. That's a great job by Bob Arum and Top Rank. But at the end of the day, they will fight. I think by the end of next year, they will fight.
I hope that you're right. And I agree with you. Other than a paycheck boxing bout, I don't see much that can be gained from Danny Garcia losing or from Errol Spence putting that record on the line and potentially losing against the Danny Garcia. Do I see it happening? Of course I don't. But have we seen crazier outcomes from boxing matches? We absolutely have.
Boxing's such a funky... It's like you sit and watch fights, and that's the biggest thing. Like, sometimes I just wonder, like, what these judges are watching. My apologies. I just don't get, like, you're watching a fight, and it's like, are these judges on their cell phones? Are they looking at their phone? They're checking Facebook? Are they checking Twitter? Did they go up and get popcorn in between there? But that's the biggest thing wrong with boxing is judging. And that Ryan, we could talk about for 6 hours.
Easily. There were several boxing matches that we could go back to, and we could argue the judges' score on it. I remember watching Adonis Stevenson fight Badou Jack in Toronto, and that went to a draw, and I actually scored it a draw myself. There was the highly contested years ago where Floyd Mayweather was fighting Golden Boy, and, you know, people are saying, well, Golden Boy landed more punches. So there's so much to talk about there. Never mind the Canelo Alvarez Triple G first fight. We could go on for days. But my question for you is, what will we see first in that division? Will we see Manny Pacquiao defend, or will we see Bud Crawford defend?
Well, Bud Crawford will be fighting on December the 14th against Mean Machine. How to say his name correctly. He'll fight December 14th. It seems like Manny Pacquiao is going to be fighting sometime in the first quarter of 2020. Again, it seemed like it was going to be Danny Garcia from the indications I was initially given, but now I don't know. It seems like, I think it's got to be the Mikey Garcia fight. It makes way too much sense at this point. Mikey Garcia doesn't have a dance partner. Manny Pacquiao doesn't have a dance partner. I know I'm going to get killed for this, and I'm more willing to bite the bullet, but I want to see Mayweather Pacquiao too, and for this reason only. I think Manny Pacquiao wins the fight.
Oh, wow.
I just think I'm a believer of it's been proven he had the shoulder injury going into the fight. He still shouldn't have taken the fight, but I get why he took it. That's way too much money to pass up, and there's no one going to do that. But I think Manny wins. You know, in the back of my mind, it still bothers me in the fact that Floyd Mayweather can come out and say, I'm 50-0, but my 50th in his, but his 50th win, Ryan, was against an MMA fighter who had never had a professional boxing match.
Agreed.
That just nogs me to this day. So if I want to see Manny Pacquiao back in the ring, yeah, it's probably going to be Mikey Garcia. But in the heart of hearts, I want to see Mayweather Pacquiao too.
I would love to see that fight too. I think that in the heart of the boxing world, Manny Pacquiao is, I mean, he's obviously defended more. He has more fights. He has been more, I'm sorry, he was the most recent fighter. So I agree with you on that. But there's something about Floyd Mayweather, man. It's one of those things, you don't count him out until the cards are actually pulled against him. So that's actually a great fight. And I agree with you. I hope we get to see that again. But again, we're going to see that when Floyd Mayweather's, you know, in his mid-40s. And some people will sit there and wonder, is it too late for it?
You know what? It may be and it will be. But you know what, though, Ryan? It's going to generate 2.5 to 3 million pay-per-view buys, and those guys are going to make a ton of money. And guys like us get to cover it and make some money ourselves. But when we all win, as much as we will poo-poo it, we'll cry about it, we'll all moan about it, at the end of the day, everyone's going to get a little, even though we get the tiniest piece of the pie, we still get a little bit of the pie, too. At the end of the day, it's not bad, and anytime there's a big fight, it's always a good time to be excited, and that means the sport's alive and the sport's doing well.
That's a great point. So, the next news that we have, kind of covering old business, for lack of a better term, and this was another one that Max Unboxing covered. Max Kellerman is the perennial force in ESPN when it comes to boxing. We talked about the unfortunate incident surrounding Patrick Day, and he was on First Take talking about it. He was on Outside the Lines. He was on his own podcast, and they were talking about making boxing safer. And there were a couple of different avenues that he took, and we'll kind of hit a couple of the big ones just in the interest of time for you, sir. Kellerman initially came out and said one way to make boxing safer, because they'd already ended up taking the rounds down from 15 rounds to 10 or 12, is making the weigh-ins the day of the fight rather than 24 hours before. Do you think in the grand scheme of things that would have prevented a tragedy like this?
No. No. Not. I hate saying that because I don't think that's a bad idea. I've been a proponent of that for a long time. I think that's something that should be done, and I'm hoping MMA gets to that point to where the weigh-ins are the day of the fight. I just think that's more, I think it's just more healthy guys fighting international weight classes. But boxers don't cut much weight. Guys that really cut much weight is heavyweights. Those are the guys that really cut the most weight. If you look at guys in boxing, they're not cutting. They're not going to the extremes that you see in mixed martial arts. And it's just, and I hate saying this because I've been racking my brain about this and seeing it happen, Ryan, literally about 25, 30 feet in front of me, sitting off front, covering it front row. I still think about it, and I'm going to think about it for a long time, because that's the first fight I've ever covered live, MMA or boxing, I've seen someone pass away. You know, and it's a hard thing to kind of really wrap my head around. And but at the end of the day, it's still boxing, and there's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah,
there's awesome things about boxing. There's bad things about boxing, but this falls in the ugly category. And you know, it's like, you know, with any sport, you know what you're signing up for. It's unfortunate to say it, but at the end of the day, Ryan, it's the honest to God truth, you know, and you don't want anything bad to happen to these athletes, because men and women, they put it all on the line. They work really hard at their craft. They take all the precautions. They know it because they know what they're signing up for. You know, they know what happens, whether it's the 4-ounce gloves in MMA or the 8 or 10-ounce gloves in boxing. They know what they're signing up for, and it is unfortunate.
I'm gonna present this to you, and I'm gonna ask you what you think about this. There has been one thing that has been bothering me since I heard this is I keep going back and I'm watching boxing match after boxing match after boxing match, and there was a definitive time where every individual state athletic commission banned the 3-knockdown rule, right? And you have to wonder, if not the knockdown rule, is there some way of going through, and God, I'll get ripped apart by the boxing fanatics, is there some way to go through the math of this fight And I'll look at some point, it's like, look, you've been knocked down twice in this fight already. You've already lost 10, or you've already lost 2 rounds, 10 to 8. And there are definitive rounds that you've lost prior to that. It is mathematically impossible for you to win this fight on the scorecard. So either you got to show me something that you're going for the knockout, or I'm going to call this fight to save your life.
I don't know. That's a good question. It really is. I'm not against the idea. It's always been the universal rule. Some there's even no knockdown. It's the discretion of the referee. But, you know, you can get knocked. You can get hurt by the one knockdown. It's all it takes is one.
Yeah.
And say if it, you know, I'm not against the idea. I think it's a pretty good idea. But then you can come back and say what you can get knocked out from the first shot. And what do you do after that? It's kind of like, I'm not against the idea. You want the sport to be as safe as possible. That's the utmost importance. But it's a thing of how do you go about it? I'm not opposed to the idea. I think it's a great idea. I just think the commissions are too far behind in the times to look in. Do I wish they would? The ABC would look into something like that? Absolutely. Do I think they're going to do it? Probably not. But it's definitely a topic that should be discussed, because the more safety you provide for the men and women, the better boxing will be. So, you know, I'm not opposed to that idea at all. I think it's actually a pretty good idea.
Again, it's a tragedy what happened to Patrick Day, and it's been mentioned several times that it's not an isolated incident. It's happened year after year after year, and until some serious implementations can be made, there's no chance in seeing this completely go away. So, our thoughts are with Patrick Day's family, you know, the boxing world on that, and we'll kind of leave it at that. But we are a mere 2 weeks away from probably one of the biggest cards that we're going to see here, and certainly has a potential for a fight of the year, with Canelo Alvarez, after his fiasco at what was going on with his weight class, moves up to fight Sergey Kovalev at the light heavyweight for the title. Is this a permanent move for Saul Canelo Alvarez to move up to light heavyweight for the remainder of his career?
He says it's not a permanent move. He's naturally, when I talked to Oscar De La Hoya a few weeks ago, he told me there's a lot of times that Canelo is up to about 190 and will cut. Like, we were talking about weight cuts earlier, and he'll cut down, he'll make 60, and he makes it without a problem. There's a lot of times he says Canelo's in that 80, 85, 90 range, and it's not a permanent move. I could see him being selective and picking fights. Like, do I think he's going to take on Artur Beterbiev? Probably not. Would I be a fan of that? Absolutely. I think between two sluggers, even though I do think Canelo is the overall better boxer, you know, I think Beterbiev he's got one trick and he uses that trick very well. But I do think Canelo Alvarez would go up, bounce between 60, 68, and 75. If the right fight is there, he will do it. To him at this point, it's about the biggest fights against the best guys. It's nothing more, it's nothing less with Canelo Alvarez. He wants the biggest challenges. Yeah, he's going to take once in a blue moon. He's going to take a Rocky Fielding fight. Just like he took a fight with Liam Smith. Guys are going to do that. But if more often than not, what you're getting out of Canelo Alvarez is facing the best competition, whether Oscar De La Hoya likes it or not. And once again, he's doing it again on November 2nd.
And he's doing that against Sergey Kovalev, looking for a light heavyweight title that hangs in the balance. But how much of a threat does Sergey Kovalev pose to Canelo Alvarez? And I ask you with this kind of predecessor, over the past couple of fights that he's lost, Kovalev looks as though he's just kind of mentally checked out of those fights, right? He almost looked like he had given up on those fights. Is this something Canelo can expose?
Kovalev poses some problems. He's got a great jab. He's got a great right hand down the middle. He's got a lot of power. You got to remember, Canelo Alvarez is jumping up two weight classes. He's not facing a bum at one through the division in a good four-year run? No. Is he still a very good fighter? Absolutely. And you got to watch out for those things. You got to watch out for that great jab. You got to watch out for that thunderous right hand. There's still a lot there that Sergey Kovalev brings to the table. Another Buddy McGirt, he's starting to become more of a boxer, and that's good to see at this stage of the game for Kovalev. There's a lot there, but it's just the big fight experience and the body shots of Canelo Alvarez, and Kovalev's been exposed in the two Andre Ward fights, the fight with Anthony Yard. And Canelo Alvarez's favorite is that digging left hook to the body. It's something Sergey Kovalev is going to have to watch out for. It's something I would imagine Buddy McGirt is trying to drive home to Sergey Kovalev, is to protect that air, protect the body as much as humanly possible. It's a fight Canelo Alvarez should win. It's a fight Canelo Alvarez should win without many problems. But Sergey Kovalev still brings a lot to the table. If you're a betting individual, this would be a good fight to bet on, just because Sergey Kovalev does have a very good chance to win. It's not a 20-year, I think it's a 60-40 fight at the end of the day. It's still a 60-40 fight. I favor Canelo Alvarez, but Sergey Kovalev is still a very dangerous fighter. He brings a lot to the table, but Alvarez does have the key advantages to win the fight. So I'm looking forward to November 2nd. It's going to be a great night of boxing on the Zone, and I'll plug us a little bit. Watch the fight.
There you go.
You're getting $20, Ryan. $20 will get you in the door to watch Canelo Alvarez. That's better than paying $74 to watch Errol Spence and Sean Porter. And greatest fight as it was, it's worth more. I'd rather pay $20 to watch Canelo and Kovalev than paying $75 to watch Deontay Wilder and Luis Ortiz. Because I already know the result, and it's gonna be a devastating knockout for the Bronze Bomber.
Well, Steve, a lot of my friends have said the exact same thing that you just said. They were in awe when they found out that they were getting this fight on DAZN's package for that $20 or for that year-long subscription. Never mind all of the content that DAZN puts out, every possible fight you could want to rewatch, go back in and kind of analyze. You have that ability. And now you're getting Canelo versus Kovalev in the main event. But, oh, hang on a minute. We have a co-main event that's going on with Ryan Garcia versus Romero Dono for the WBO NABO lightweight title. That one has serious implications to me.
You know, it's a lot been surrounding Ryan Garcia, and we all know what went on there. And it's a big fight. Dono's a good fighter. We're gonna see how good Ryan Garcia really is. He's got a big point to prove here in terms of, is he just a social media darling, or is he a legit fighter? We're going to find out on November 2nd, because I still don't know, you don't know, the boxing world doesn't know. This is a good step up for Ryan Garcia to see how good he really is, because at the end of the day, I don't know. So it's a big, stiff test. He's got the big following. Let's see if he can deliver in the ring on November 2nd, because I think if he looks good in winning, I think you have something. I think Golden Boy has something here with Ryan Garcia. I really, really do.
And I think that I could see Ryan Garcia with a definitive victory in this, being a darling for Golden Boy, being a future star for not just the division, but for the entire sport of boxing. You would see who he would be able to step up to and wait. I believe he ended up getting to about number 12 or 13, depending on which ranking system you're looking at. And this would be one that would just plummet for Ryan Garcia in a loss, but would shoot him into superstar status with a victory.
No, absolutely. You know, you got to look at it as, plus being on this undercard, being in the co-main event of one of the last big shows of the year with the face of boxing in the headlining position, everything is lining up here for Ryan Garcia to deliver. The question is, can he deliver? And we're going to find out in about 10 days.
And it's going to be a massive fight. And again, you brought it up, so I'll say it. A win for Ryan Garcia here sets him up for future main events that he could absolutely headline.
Absolutely, because he's a star. And when the sport needs megastars, it needs, and he's got that following. Got following a lot of guys don't have and girls don't have in the sport. The opportunity is there for him. Now he's just got to put in the work and seize the opportunity, because the opportunity is right in front of him.
Well, November 2nd can't come soon enough. You know, Steve, this was a blast, and I know that you were on a time crunch. We covered pretty much what we were going to do, and the great thing about it was you kind of answered my questions as we were going into this conversation. So it was almost like you were reading my script as we were going through this.
No, this has been a lot of fun, man. Let's do it again very, very soon.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we do this when we get the results from Canelo Alvarez versus Sergey Kovalev and Duno versus Ryan Garcia?
I'm in, my man. Count me in.
Well, that is perfect. Well, Steve, I know that it was a quick show. We covered a lot, but it was great having you on. Look forward to having you back. But I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up and let you get back to your busy life. So on behalf of Steve Mulhausen of the SFLC podcast, I'm Ryan Sprague. Enjoy the fights. Let us know your thoughts on these fights, and we will talk to everybody later.